Our gospel reading today is a very beautiful encounter of Jesus with the blind man Bartimaeus. Jesus, of course, heals many people throughout the different gospel passages. It's interesting today, what's unique about this passage is a lot of just small details that really reveal to us a lot of things about Jesus and a lot of things about healing that are required for God to be able to work in our life. First thing that's very unique is, first, the blind man has a name. It's not just Jesus encountered a blind man and he healed him. No, he encountered a blind man named Bartimaeus. And he also gives the name of the man's father, the son of Timaeus. One of the few times that names are given for those that Jesus heals. Normally it's just the blind man, the lame man, the widow of Nain. Usually very general terms that are used to the people for the people that God heals. But today, the gospel is very specific and also showing a sense of generations, the father of Bartimaeus as well. I want to present the fact that this reveals two things to us today, that healing is a personal encounter with Jesus. It involves who we are as his sons and daughters. It involves who he sees us as. You know, our name reveals kind of the essence, our identity, Jesus wanting to transform us in the essence, the depth of who we are as his beloved son and daughter, and not only us, but all of humanity, all of the generations of the world, and all of the sin and darkness and blindness that are a part of all the levels of our life, all the generations, all of the places of the world. It's what is revealed to us today by the name of the blind man being specified. So today we see the reality of just kind of blindness. Blindness that kind of is a theme for the world, just a world in sin that cannot see the truth, cannot see the light, is not living in the fullness of truth. We see this constantly in the gospel passage that Jesus is portrayed as the light of the world. God himself is the light that drives away the darkness. In the beginning, he forms out of the empty darkness the world. And what is the first thing he does? He says, "Let there be light." You know, "May your truth be a light unto my feet." You know, Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is trying to bring light into the darkness of our life and the brokenness that we have and the things that are obstacles to him bringing that light into our life. The two gospel passages that we've heard the last 2 weeks kind of have this theme as well. If you remember last week, we had James and John, who are so focused on where they're going to sit at the right hand of the Father that they can't see the mission of Jesus, who says, if you want to be first, you have to serve. You know, remove the blindness of your own self-right, your own self-reliance, your own desires, and serve. The weekend before that, we had the rich young man who can't give up his riches to encounter Christ and follow Jesus. Can't receive the light of life in his life because there's all these other things that are suppressing Jesus' light of truth and a relationship that Jesus wants with this rich young man in his life. Those different things, material things in his life that are blotting out the light of Jesus that's wanting to penetrate his heart. Now today it's very beautiful because we see the blind man ready to receive the light of Christ. This beautiful encounter. He starts crying out to Jesus, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." This word pity is very unique. Pity. "Jesus, have pity on me." If you tell someone to have pity on you, you're literally recognizing the fact that you're in need of their help and that you're helpless on your own. Also, a sense of like unworthiness. You know, "have pity on me because I don't even deserve what you offer me." It's very key here because so often in our life, a very key obstacle for us receiving the light of Christ in our life is we don't come before God saying, "Have pity on me. Lord Jesus, you're the one who has to save me. I am empty. I'm nothing. I'm blind." Instead, so often we come before God in our life with self-pity. Self-pity, if you just look at the word, is where instead of looking outside of ourselves and looking to the person who has the power to save us, Jesus, you, who have the power of life, you have pity on me, the sinner, who is not worthy of the love of God. The wages of sin are death. Have pity on me, and in your love and mercy, which is a gift, which I can never earn, have pity on me and save me with your mercy and light. Or, as so often happens in our life, self-pity. We look to ourself for salvation. We close in on ourself and try and find a meaning and a place of receiving light in our suffering and pain, the sins of our life. That's what the world wants to tell us. You know, within yourself, within the things of the world, there's the answer to the thing that is pitiful in our life, the fact that we're sinners, that we're broken, that we're blind, that we need a Savior. The world says, like the crowd does, be quiet. Just like the crowd tells Bartimaeus today, be quiet. Don't bug the master. Just look to yourself. Just have self-pity. And that can look a lot of different ways in our life. You know, the world just says, suppress your pain. You know, look to different things in your life to answer that pain in your heart. Whether that might be food, you know, relationships, sex, drugs or alcohol, you know, all different ways in which we look to ourselves in self-reliance to answer the question of the brokenness of our life, where we really have to just look to Jesus for him to show us that he's with us, that he's walking with us, that he desires to liberate our blindness, turning from self-pity to the person who has the light of life. Lord Jesus, you have pity on me. Very key distinction here today. We also see this reality in the way that Bartimaeus reacts. Once Jesus says, call out, once Jesus tells the disciples, call him, all the disciples start calling out to him. It's interesting that Jesus has them do it instead of him doing it. This is kind of a unique image of our Christian responsibility to help welcome people into an encounter with Christ, receive healing. Jesus allows us to bring others to him to receive healing and light. Call out to him. So the disciples start calling out to him. Take courage. Get up. Jesus is calling you. He does have pity on you. He does want to save you. He does have the light of life to drive away the darkness and hopelessness and powerlessness that you've been living in for your whole life, where you haven't been able to see yourself or others because of your blindness, of sin, of self-reliance. And then this beautiful, I love this right here, how Bartimaeus reacts. He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Let's begin with the first part. He threw aside his cloak. This is very unique because the cloak for a beggar oftentimes was very closely related to his identity as a beggar. It was probably his one piece of clothing that sheltered him from the storms, you know, his homelessness. It was also probably what he used to beg. He would take probably his cloak off and put it down and sit on it or lay it out for people to give him alms. It also, some biblical scholars say that to be a beggar, you actually had to receive a special cloak from the people at the temple that would identify you as kind of an official beggar. You know, that you were basically stamped for approval to beg outside of the temples and the synagogues. So the image today of Bartimaeus throwing aside his cloak is an image of the fact that he's throwing away his old identity as a blind person, a person who, sitting in self-pity and blindness, is going to stay that way the rest of his life. It's an image of throwing off the brokenness of his life, his blindness, and then coming to Jesus, springing up, Lord Jesus, I leave behind my life, and with faith, I come before you, you who have the power to transform me. I reject this old identity where I so often get caught in the self-pity of my life, my sin, and I come to you, Lord Jesus, crying out in my brokenness with humility. I'm nothing, Jesus. You can save me. Have pity on me. Very powerful. Finally, I want to share a personal story to you to kind of lock this in. I recently had a very close friend of mine who just passed away on Tuesday. It was a mom. She was in her 40s. She'd been struggling with cancer for the last 3 years. She had 6 kids, very close family. I knew her since I was 7 years old. Her family and her kids went to youth group with me, and I was with her at the hospital on Monday, her last day before she passed. Amazing woman of faith, a magnanimous heart. She always was giving of herself, glorifying God. And I do sick calls all the time. I visit people in the hospital, and I'm always amazed by the different way people confront death. But this young mom, who's been such a part of my life, her family, is amazing. This last week, a couple times I saw her, just the beauty in which she approached death. And, you know, being in her 40s, having 6 kids, having every excuse in the world to have self-pity in that situation. Lord, why are you doing this to me? Why are you taking me away from my kids? Why are you, you know, leaving my husband abandoned here? You know, and maybe as I share this story, you think of people in your own life who have had a situation like this, people who have died in your own life where, you know, in a situation like that, we feel the weight of our brokenness in this life, the weight of sin, which is death, all the suffering and evil that's a part of this world that's not the plan of God. You know, death is not a plan of God. Suffering is not a plan of God. The original world he created had no suffering and death with Adam and Eve in the garden. But it was so profound, and it really changed my life, and it's really helped me to have greater faith of her faith those last days. And how, instead of turning to herself in self-pity, she constantly was just a witness of faith, speaking to her kids and to me and to those who were there in her hospital room about her faith, her hope that Jesus was with her, that she was ready to meet her Savior, that she was at peace with the fact that God was walking with her in this valley of death, ready and willing and waiting to liberate her to life eternal, where we're all going to be united with God and each other one day, God willing, in the communion of saints. Her beautiful witness of that, and places where I realized in my life, do I really have that faith? You know, if I was put in that situation, would I have the grace, like Bartimaeus today, to throw off the cloak of my self-pity? The places where I doubt God, I say, Lord, why are you abandoning me? Lord, why am I struggling with this sin, this death, this place of blindness in my life? And have the faith, have the hope to turn to Jesus and say, have pity on me. Give me the hope, the life, the courage to believe that you're the way, the truth, and the life, the light of the world. So we ask for that grace today for ourselves, for the grace to encounter the light that is Jesus, and that his light might heal us of all the blind places of our life, our sin, our suffering, and our need for salvation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.